KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One.
Nashville's Big Backyard is an economic and tourism initiative wending through the Natchez Trace National Parkway, featuring 12 rural communities from Leaper's Fork near Nashville all the way down to the Shoals region in Alabama. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. Come along and join us in Florence, Alabama, for a conversation with two key players in the Shoals region economic development, followed by a visit with Rodney Hall, the son of Rick Hall, founder of the legendary BAME Studios. We'll also visit with Spencer Coates, Hall's studio manager. BAME is hunkered in the rural community of Muscle Shoals, Alabama, on the outskirts of Florence. You might not be familiar with the name BAME Studios, but you more than likely have heard the numerous musicians who have made pilgrimages to Muscle Shoals since 1959 to record their hit records. Just a sampler includes the Rolling Stones, Aretha Franklin, Bobby Gentry, Tim McGraw, Otis Redding, the Dixie Chicks, Wilson Pickett, Etta James, the Allman Brothers Band, and a head-spinning list of other seminal musicians who still come to fame to record their hits.
My name is Kevin Jackson. We're here in the Shoals, Alabama, specifically Florence, Alabama right now in the Gunrunner Hotel. I am the president of the Shoals Economic Development Authority. Our mission and goal to create economic opportunities in Lauderdale and Colbert County, which make up the Shoals.
What is the big economic driver here? What makes the town viable?
I think we're a very unique town. That's one of the reasons that I came here 3 years ago. That really interested me was diverse economy that we have here. We have a very established manufacturing base, traditional and generational companies here, as well as some new things we're doing with some tech initiatives. We have a thing called the Remote Shoals Program. We are seeking out people throughout the country, paying them up to $10,000 to move here and work remotely for 12 months. No strings attached other than you have to make $52,000 and work remotely at a company not in the Shoals. So we've had some great success with that.
Where do they stay?
We've had kind of a wider range of people in their housing. We started it in 2019 with a class of 10. In that class, half of them bought houses, half of them just rented. That was pretty successful. Did that through 2019, wrapped it up first part of 2020, launched a second class this year. We're doing 25. I think we've extended something like 37 offers, I believe. We've already had some of those people move here. Of course, with the pandemic, the timing's a little off on some of that. So we're giving us some grace, but we're going to do 25 this year.
But the intent of the program is to increase population and to increase the brain trust?
Of course. We wanted to go after more digital tech type companies, and we realized that we had a little bit of a brain drain and we needed some of those type workers. So we initially targeted that, but then the timing just had to be perfect with the pandemic, and we had a lot of people that were interested in starting to work remotely. So we've had over 600 applications for that program, and we've kind of become a model throughout the country and one of the leaders in that. So we're thankful to do that.
The ultimate spinoff is employment, right?
Yeah, employment, population growth, all the good things that come with it.
And hopefully their startup or their business will hire local people. And
perfect, yes. Very much an entrepreneurial spirit in this community. It goes back to the music in the 60s and just through today with entrepreneurship of people like the Anderson family that started Books A Million. They're from here. So we definitely encourage that, and we like that type of people. We like go-getters here. So it's been a really great program.
It's really interesting because, as we both know, there are towns in Alabama that are barely hanging on, man, barely surviving. And yet here's a town that's has a real dynamism to it, thriving. So there has to be some backstory that explains that.
We just have a lot of really interesting people here with different backgrounds, with the means to make things work. And it's been really neat in the brief time I've been here to see how things can come together with our remote shows program, and then working with Aubrey and Debbie and Judy on the Nationals Big Backyard, and just all the different things we have here. There's so many different opportunities with the music, with manufacturing, with the river, with just kind of small town America, but having the amenities of a large town.
So doing things on the water would be obviously part of the attraction.
Of course. I know Rob's going to talk a little about that in a little bit. But yeah, the Tennessee River is great. We're very thankful that, you know, it flows through our community. It's a part of our community, and we definitely embrace everything with that.
What are some of the other things that people do on their days off, time off?
You know, you can tour the recording studios. You can go see the birthplace of Helen Keller. You can take a walk around the University of North Alabama. You can shop at downtown Florence. We have a wonderful restaurant, recreational opportunities on the river. Of course, me, I have four boys, so we do kids' sport.
How about biking? In a lot of communities, I know Chattanooga is big time bicycle.
So there is a big biking community here. There are bike trails, there are mountain bike trails. We've actually got a specialty bike shop about two blocks from here. So that community is very well represented as well. If you actually go to our Remote Shells website, there's a promotional video. There's a lot of mountain biking and stuff in that video. We have a fund here that's used to incentivize industries and companies based on a certain set of guidelines that I would consider traditional manufacturing and things like that. One thing that I'm really excited about, and this is going to be, I guess, an exclusive to you right now, is we're launching a strategic plan next month. And one of our new targeted focuses is going to be the recruitment of music and film production. And we're going to actually come up with a specialized incentive to bring that to the Shoals. So we're very excited about, you know, what opportunities we may have in that arena.
So you're hoping for a studio?
Studio, any type of a streaming series like Netflix. We're open to anything. We're unique enough to have those type of people here that can do that. We're definitely going to embrace that and do what we can with them.
And how far have you gotten, theoretically anyway, in putting out feelers and what the conceptual response is going to be?
I think we're going to have a pretty good response. We already have the music history here with that. There are still people that know about our music history that are interested in that. We're going to continue to grow that by, you know, targeting some incentives for that and then getting into the film arena as well.
You have a couple of the most famous studios in American music, right?
We do. We're very fortunate. That's one of the reasons I came here. So to be able to have a relationship with Rick Hall and Judy Hood and all those people and getting to know the Swampers that are still with us, it's been pretty special.
It's really interesting because I go to some communities and they really don't have any history, you know, to speak of. And I go, you know, you can't make up history. Then you go to some community and it has this awesome history, and they don't quite realize what they have.
Yeah, I would say, you know, both sides of the river, both of our areas of our community, we just kind of ooze history here. There's just so much great stuff.
Yeah, and like you said, environmentally, it's a beautiful place.
Of course. Yeah. And, you know, and because of the environment, that's the reason a lot of that history happens. So we're just very excited about what the future holds for us and the growth opportunities and partnerships, and we just look forward to what's ahead.
And what's the population right now?
Right now, we are actually an MSA, so we're about 150,000, but our MSA is comprised of both counties, so 150,000 between both counties.
Okay. Projections?
We have almost a housing shortage here. We can sell them as fast as they can build them, and we're going to continue to work toward that and bring as many people as we can. So,
and cost of housing?
Lower than, you know, Huntsville, definitely lower than Nashville, Atlanta, places like that. So
there are young people, techies and whatnot, that are almost literally priced out of Nashville.
Oh, definitely. And we've noticed a lot of that with our remote shows program, people that are looking to get out of those metro areas. You know, and of course, all that was heightened with the pandemic of nobody wanted to be shut in. They wanted their space. They wanted their yard, you know, if they want to grow their own food, to do that. So I think we're witnessing that shift before our eyes, and I'm pretty excited that we're in the crosshairs of that.
Yeah, and the other one, I was just thinking back to Nashville, which I love, but deal breaker for me is commuting and the freeway, man. That's a non-starter here, isn't it?
It is. Well, luckily, we don't have to worry about that. Usually, our morning traffic jam is probably Highway 72 heading into Florence or on Wilson Dam from Muscle Shoals heading into Florence, and you may be looking at a 10 to 15-minute traffic jam, so that's not too bad.
Somebody wanted to learn more. Where would you direct them?
SelectTheShoals.com. We have our Remote Shoals page, RemoteShoals.com. Our website for the Economic Development Authority is SEDA-Shoals.com. We also have Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, anything you want, we've got that too. So please look for us on that. And again, I'm Kevin Jackson, the president of the Shoals Economic Development Authority.
Excellent. What a pleasure.
Rob Carnegie, represent Florence Lauderdale Tourism here in the Shoals. Florence, the city, Lauderdale's the county.
Okay.
But we have somewhat branded ourselves as the Shoals area to encompass the entire greater Shoals area.
There's Muscle Shoals?
There is, yeah. Florence, Sheffield, and Tuscumbia. Some smaller towns and communities within the greater Shoals area. Those are the four larger cities.
So the Shoals has become an acronym, kind of an overarching destination name.
It is. We kind of be likening it to New York City and then the boroughs that are within the city itself.
So the mothership is Shoals.
Yeah, that's right.
So what do you work on? What do you focus on mostly?
So we're the destination marketing organization for the Shoals area. Our main goal, our mandate is really to drive visitation and visitor spending in this area.
Do you focus primarily domestically or as much like Germany or France and the world?
Yeah, both really. Within our leisure market initiatives, we have target markets within this region, Atlanta, Nashville, Memphis, Birmingham. But for the music industry, the international market is huge.
I would think it would be giant.
It is.
Unending well of potential people. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, the UK, you know, Australia.
Germany. I think would be, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Those are all big, big markets for us. And so we'll attend trade shows, marketplaces in order to be able to create more demand for this area.
And pretty much the free and independent traveler is your primary.
That's right. Yeah, the foreign independent traveler, or domestic independent traveler. A lot of coach tours, you know, into the area as well. So we try to leverage as many markets as we can. We try to not to leave any stone unturned.
Domestically, where would be your major demographic inbound? Chicago, would Dallas be there?
You know, we try to sort of do that 2 to 4 hour radius. So
day,
Nashville,
day trip people.
That's right. Road trips, day trips, you know, because we're sort of off the beaten path, we try to look and reach out strategically in some of these near markets.
I was at the National Park Smokies.
Yeah.
And the ranger told me that there was number one national park in America, which I would have lost that bet. I would have said Yosemite or something.
Right.
She said, the reason is, I think it's like 60% of Americans are within a day drive of this region.
Yes. I think it's upwards to 80%, actually.
I mean, that's mind-blowing.
It is.
Do you know how spoiled you guys are?
We're very thankful for that. Absolutely.
And once again, you guys are spoiled.
We are.
Yeah, and you can just focus on drivable people and have a full house.
That's true. Absolutely. And we try to do that, especially we've seen a lot of attraction out of Nashville, Birmingham, Huntsville, even the Atlanta markets as well, too. So we're just trying to fish where the fish are.
Baton Rouge, New Orleans?
A little bit, yeah. We've seen those in that Tupelo and Mississippi. And
do you sometimes change your target and work a new fresh area?
If the data is there, if we can prove that there is real demand out of those markets.
But you don't really know until you test the water, right?
Right, yeah. And two, we know we try to rely upon our agencies to be able to sort of look at that data, whether that's through Google or what other platforms that they look at to determine where people are sort of the high-yield visitor and also the high-propensity visitor, people who have a bent or a leaning towards this area.
For somebody that knows very little about the Shoals area, maybe bullet point or whatever, 1, 2, 3, why should I come here?
Wow. Well, our brand, what I like to say is our unique value proposition is music, our music history. And you've heard the music story here in the Shoals, so I won't tell you that. We have something, the Muscle Shoals magic, the Muscle Shoals music.
For the listener, share the magic.
Share the magic.
Yeah, I know. I've been there. But
it was late 50s, early 60s when a gentleman by the name of Rick Hall had a vision to be something. His testimony on video is that he wanted to be somebody. And so he put together a rhythm section of players and went on to record some of the greatest hits of all time. And of course, the one that is most obvious to us all is the Swampers. There were several generations of musicians in this area before them that date way back to Norbert Putnam and some of those artists that played for Elvis Presley. But the Swampers really sort of revolutionized and changed the music industry here.
And they were just a bunch of regular good old boys.
They were, yeah. I mean, if you haven't seen the Muscle Shoals documentary, I just encourage all of your listeners to see it.
Because how would they find that? How would they access it?
Well, they can contact us for that documentary. We have it on DVD. It can also probably be sourced out through Amazon.
And they would look for what would be the title they would search?
Muscle Shoals.
Simple
it's just
that.
Muscle Shoals. So a lot of great artists that are showcased as well or spotlighted in that video too.
I watched it and it was hugely illuminating for me.
Yeah.
And so well done.
Incredibly well done. I mean, we were very thankful to the Badger family and that group of individuals who invested in that.
Very cool. Another bullet point, cuisine. How about culinary experience?
Oh, absolutely. We have great variety of cuisine in this area. Everything from fine dining to barbecue to American cuisine. I think that what's unique about the Shoals is that there's just sort of something for everybody. I mean, tonight we're going to a dinner downtown, as you know, to Odette. It's just a beautiful boutique eatery that you'll really enjoy. Home-cooked meals, but everything in between as well.
And places to stay.
Places to stay. We've got a great variety of hotels in this area. The boutique hotel that we're here right now at the Gunrunner is a very beautiful themed boutique property that has rooms that are based around all different types of milestones and various things that happened here in the Shoals. And there's just 10 rooms. Each one is themed. So there's one for the University of North Alabama, a Muscle Shoals Music. There's a Sam Phillips room, various other rooms that are themed.
And then you have Corporate Flag Hotel.
We do. Everything from Marriott to Hilton Choice Properties. We have a little over 1,600 rooms in the Shoals area.
I'm really impressed with the Marriott.
Beautiful property.
Bluntly to discover that here. I just did not expect a resort, golf, Marriott here. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, beautiful property. It's been an award-winning property over the last 15 years several times. They've just done a great job. I think, too, that the Tennessee River is a unique aspect to our area as well. You know, it's something that we want more and more people to enjoy in this area.
How do tourists experience the water?
You know, whether they come in by boat themselves or they can access the river through our marina, that's one way to
do
that.
You have boat tours?
There are boat tours that operate within this area a little further east of us. We have some boat tours.
I understand that you have a connection with Frank Lloyd Wright here.
Yeah, the only Frank Lloyd Wright home that's open to the public in the southeast United States, the only Frank Lloyd Wright home that's open in Alabama, built in 1939, I think, for $12,000 as a single-family home. So an amazing story there. The Rosenbaum family who purchased that home and owned that home for many, many years and then gave it to the city, I believe, gifted it to the city.
So it's open to the public for tours.
It is open to the public, exactly. It's a great attraction. Usonian-style architecture is one of actually the highlights and one of the high-tended attractions in the area. Helen Keller's birthplace home, Ivy Green, of course, is here. They put on the Miracle Worker play every summer for about 6 weeks. We have the birthplace home of W.C. Handy, father of the blues, one of the most prolific American songwriters in American history. His birthplace home is here.
And that's open to the public?
That is also open to the public. Sam Phillips' childhood home.
Really?
Father of rock and roll, discovered Elvis Presley.
Sun Studios,
yeah. That's right. His son, Jerry Phillips, of course, is a friend of this area and does a lot of business in this area. His childhood home is here as well. Billy Reed, iconic worldwide fashion designer, has had clothes featured in James Bond films.
He has a retail?
He does. His right flagship downtown? Store is actually right downtown on
How
Court
did you
Street.
Get him?
Well, his wife is from Florence.
Oh, okay.
And so when it was time for them to settle down and have a family, they came back to Florence and sort of settled here. Natalie Channon does a lot of fashion design as well worldwide. She's also housed here in the Florence area. So we do not lack at all in tourism attractions experiences, even if you don't like music, which is hard to find. There is such a variety of experiences.
But if you do have an appreciation for American vernacular music,
that's right.
This is a mothership, is a birthing ground.
It is. I mean, we compete easily with Nashville, L.A., New Orleans, Memphis. We are a unique destination for music history. Current live music offerings as well. Live music every night at the Marriott Shoals and then throughout the area. We publish a live music calendar every Friday that tells visitors where they can find live music. There's operating studios, of course, today, as well as record labels that are in town that are continuing to nurture and grow talent.
That is so cool. I love it. An American best-kept secret.
Yeah. And as the destination marketing organization and head of that organization, I'm trying to change that.
Yeah. Well, it must be. It's a real enthusiastic optimism because you have nowhere to go but...
That's right.
Up and out and around and
That's right. We've just actually created something called the Muscle Shoals Backstage Pass, which is a visitor value program that allows visitors to get discounts at all of those attractions. We give out free swag and t-shirts when they visit so many attractions, and then when they visit them all, they can enter to win our grand prize at the end of the year.
If somebody wanted to learn more about your world here,
listeners can find us at theshoalsal.com or also at visitflorenceal.com.
Instagram and Facebook.
Yes, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can find us all there too. My name is Rob Carnegie. I'm the CEO at Florence Lauderdale Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Tom.
Yeah, it's been so fascinating.
I'm Rodney Hall with Fame Recording Studios.
So your dad started Fame?
He did. My dad started Fame in the early 60s and had a couple partners in the beginning and took it on his own shortly into it. Started having success pretty immediately.
So you grew up in the world of Fame, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. I've spent more time in this building crawling around as a kid in these tape vaults and record rooms and studios. I grew up here, so I spent more time in this building than any other building on the planet.
At what point in your life as a kid did you get it? Did you realize something special was going on in your dad's world?
Very early on, I knew something. My dad was different. He had a different job than all the other kids here in Muscle Shoals. I knew that because people would come to our house. They would be recording at the studio. They'd come to our house and stay for a few days. Next thing you know, I'd see him on Johnny Carson. The other kids' dad's co-workers weren't on Johnny Carson, so that was early on. And then when it really kicked in was when the Osmonds came, but they were 12 to, you know, they were some of the first boy bands. Girls were crazy over them, and I was about, I don't know, six to ten probably. Mm-hmm. When they were here,
right? So did you hang out with them at all?
Donnie used to come over to our house. The Osmonds have recorded over the decades here a lot. Marie recorded here. The Osmond brothers came back and did a country album in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So that's a family we've always been very close to, and we spent a lot of time with the Osmonds.
It's really interesting that you have such a distinctive upbringing out of context. You know, you're so close to the center of the universe, you don't have a clue.
That may be true. I have heard it said that this is the center of the musical universe. Somehow, that's funny. It's funny, but it's just looking back over the history. I mean, we're sitting in our tape vault where this is Otis Redding and Wilson Pickett tapes. Wow. It's Greg Allman and Dwayne Allman tapes. It's Clarence Carter's Candy State and it's Otis Redding. It's Little Richard. It's Aretha Franklin. I had a weird upbringing in Muscle Shoals. I'd walk to Fame from my school, which is right up the street, and I would come down here and listen to music and listen to watch sessions and read Billboard magazines. And I remember when the big news came out that there was this new product coming out, the CD, mm-hmm. and that the quality was perfect. They would never scratch and they last forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, none of those ended up being true.
And now, you remember the issues with dad and CD and the quality, and the word was vinyl is dead. Throw out your turntable. And now what's happening? Vinyl is viral, isn't it?
It's crazy. My son texted me yesterday and said, "Dad, do you have an old record player I could borrow?" I'm like, yeah, let me look around, see what we've got. But yeah, it's awesome. The thing I missed most over the years with CD and just with the whole digital revolution was the album cover. I mean, just the artwork that went into that and just reading the liner notes and seeing who played on this, and, you know, where it was recorded and all that stuff. It's why we're here. That's why we're ever known about, really, was because there was no marketing machine behind Muscle Shoals.
Yeah.
It was all word of mouth where you read an album cover and found it.
Okay, back to your growing up here and getting it. Who else and what seminal transformative moments happened in your life here in the studio?
Most of them.
yeah, really.
Pretty much most of them. I mean, I would say, you know, 90%. What I didn't learn, well, the places I learned things were in sports, here, working here, being around here, and working on our cattle ranch when I was a kid. those were the things that we did.
Central to music as an art form. When did you get it? And what musician brought it home for you?
You're talking about fame artists or artists?
Whatever, just in your life. You know, you're growing up and all of a sudden, whoa.
Oh, in my life?
Yeah.
I mean, well, obviously my dad's music first, you know, and I had free records. I sit at home and listen to Clarence Carter and Candy State and Wilson Pickett. And then I started buying my own records, mm-hmm. and getting into things. And, you know, outside of fame and what my dad did,
right.
you know, there's tons and tons, but I would say number one would be Prince, Michael Jackson, that whole era, and soul music. I mean, just soul music going back to even stuff that wasn't done here, Sam and Dave, and, you know, a lot of the Otis Redding stuff. Just that was basically that. When I got into that, which was, you know, in my teens.
Right. Okay, today, if we got in your car, what tunes would you tune in?
Oh, if you got in my car and listened to my CDs, it would be stuff that we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
It would be projects we're working on or projects we're considering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if not that, I listen to Sirius XM, honestly.
Okay.
I listen to the Spectrum a lot. I love that channel.
What do you do day to day at Fame Studios today?
Oh, well, we're just constantly planning for the future, working on events, working on marketing ideas, working on music. Mostly, you know, we have a staff of songwriters that write for our publishing companies, James LeBlanc and Philip White being our two top songwriters at the moment. We demo a lot of songs. We write songs. We work with, you know, our song plugging people to pitch those songs to artists and managers and so forth. And we record, you know, record a lot of music. We rent out to the public. So, you know, we'll record anybody, anywhere, anytime, just like Sam Phillips said back in the day. So we're doing, you know, mm-hmm. if it has to do with music, we're doing it.
That's so cool. Your dad's gone, but I have this sense like he's in the other room. Do you ever feel that when you're walking around?
Never. I feel like he's right here,
yeah,
right
yeah.
now. I mean,
oh,
yeah.
He's real close.
He's real close. Because he's everywhere I look.
That's so funny.
He did all this.
So that's a comforting feeling for you, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. It, you know, he's here every moment, mm-hmm. walking the door. He's always here. I go sometimes and just sit in his office and just can just feel him.
Yeah.
You know.
Very, very cool. Okay, your turn. Anything you want to add? Anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, just that, you know, Fame's a working studio. We've been working for 60 years consecutively. You know, there's not many studios in the world that can say that. We also opened up our doors to fans, and we give tours through the week and on weekends, and come see us and feel the music.
I love it. Okay, if somebody wanted to learn more about your world, Fame Studios, where would you direct them?
I would direct them to famestudios.com. There you can connect to all our socials, our newsletters. We have a backstage program where you can hear, you know, we're building that you'll be able to see, you know, videos from the past. You'll be able to, it'll be unreleased material, that kind of stuff. So,
okay.
My name is Rodney Hall. For further information, go to famestudios.com.
Rodney, thanks for the time. What an honor and a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Today. This has been great.
I'm Spencer Coates. I'm the studio manager and head engineer here at Fame Recording Studios. I've been here for about 7 years. I've gotten to work with acts like Greg Allman, Steven Tyler, Alan Jackson, Vince Gill, Alison Krauss, Michael McDonald. I mean, you name it, they've come through here. I mean,
where are we, man? We're in the middle of nowhere.
Dude, I know, dude. It's crazy. There's not even an interstate to this area. And I mean, even then, dude, there's something in the area. There really is like, I don't know, they call it magic, maybe it's electricity, but it does bring music out of people in a way that I've never seen it happen, you know?
And going way back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about some of the early roots here, man. This is legendary.
So, you know, we were built here in 1962 by my late boss, Rick Hall, who I worked for 4 years, and, you know, he recorded, I mean, Wilson Pickett's Land of a Thousand Dances, Mustang Sally, Funky Broadway, Aretha Franklin's first 2 million selling records, I Never Loved a Man Like I Loved You, and Do Right Man, Do Right Woman. I mean, he recorded with, you know, Mac Davis.
That's another anomaly, man. I would have lost that bet. I would go Detroit.
Dude, totally. You know,
Yeah, Berry Gordy, man.
Well, you know, she was on CBS Records for so long, and then Jerry Wexler heard her and had that idea of doing that gospel music with secular words like Ray Charles, and had to bring her down to the roots. And, dude, they, you know, if y'all seen the documentary, everybody should go watch the documentary Muscle Shoals. Man, there's that moment where nobody knows to do that song, and then Spooner Allham comes up with that riff, and it's just, that's it. That's Aretha Franklin right there. And, dude, it's crazy, because I've seen that happen, you know, for a lot of people that I know, especially young guys, because, you know, being a young guy myself, having all this legendary history here in, I mean, it's soaked in the walls. There's no getting around the vibe and the magic here, but you see young people come in here and they experience it too, because it's not dead. I mean, we just walked out of a session where they literally 30 minutes ago wrote that song, and now we're figuring it out, trying to beat it out, trying to make sure it's right, and like, not capture something, but capture real magic, right. And maybe that's what it's about.
And look on their faces, and they're feeling the magic.
Yes, absolutely.
It is really a trip. Back in time, again, time travel here, because this was, again, another anomaly with mixing of the races, when a time when it was so segregated here, and yet they were just above the whole fray.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even think they really thought about it. You know, I think it was
a non-issue.
Yeah, it was a non-issue. I mean, once you got outside the walls of the studio, maybe, like, as for all of us, reality sets in, which is probably why, you know, I'm a studio rat. I live here because I have to, you know, sometimes, like, the world's different outside the studio. But, you know, here it just wasn't, that's my brother, you know? That's my sisters. We're just making music. Like, it depends on what you sound like. If you can play, you're with us, you know? And it was...
But how evolved, I mean, just incredible.
But honestly, that's what I think made the music so special in a lot of ways, was having a mix of people. I mean, anytime you mix musical ideas together and you get something different, like, that's what we're always going for. Something different is, you know... making records and stuff like that. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
And it's incredible that it continues. I mean, it's still in the middle of nowhere, internationally known among those who know.
It really is. And then it's tourists. They just come, you know, especially since that documentary. They will keep coming from all over the world, Japan, Spain, you know, even down the road. It's crazy. People have driven by this place for 50 years, and then they finally come in here, and they're like, this is what this is? I didn't even know. It's like, yeah, brother, check it out. How amazing is this, you know? Yeah.
So you lead tours yourself, right?
I do. You know, I did a lot of tours. You know, now that I'm the studio manager, I don't do as many tours as I did, but I have given maybe tens of thousands of tours of the studio, and it was two a day every day for 6-7 years, and it's awesome because I just got promoted to be the studio manager now, and it's cool being able to set the vibe and set the tone of the studio. And
have any legends come in the front door that... recorded?
All right, so there's this one story, right, so I guess he didn't record here, Sting, but he walked in the front door, and they were cutting a demo session in the back, and they were like, I'm sorry, you can't take a tour right now, we're still recording, and he left, and it was like one of those things where it's like, oh, man, Sting, but, you know, I mean, that's how it is, we just have never stopped, but yeah, dude, people come through all the time. A lot of the legends that I see are guys like the Swampers and all the musicians in the area, a lot of the Fame Gang guys.
Swampers for a moment, because that's, again, in itself, mega legend.
So, dude, they are, like, some of the best musicians of all time. You know, I got to hang out and meet all of them, really except for Barry Beckett, you know, but all those guys taught me how to make records, and it's crazy, too, because...
So you met them.
Oh, dude, they are my very deep, closest friends. It's incredible, and it's so cool because the things that are true then are true now, even though we make records different, you know? And a lot of times we do make records the same way that they did back in the day because, you know, people come here for that.
Yeah.
But even though we make records different, there's certain things like the song that is so important. It's what goes through everything, you know? I mean, this is a temple for the song. Well, this is all here so that we can touch people's lives and be a part of the soundtrack of their life, you know? Because that's what this music became was, you know, that moment in time when you first heard it and you were going through that one thing and you always go back to it to get you back there, you know? And honestly, that's what those guys are about. It's just crazy to see the love of music in guys like that, because you're always thinking, like, oh, you know, you've been doing this for so long, it's just whatever to you. But no, they still have that passion at 70 years old, some of them, and just they just love still making music and still going and still playing on records and being a part of it and teaching, you know, and passing along. It's a very beautiful thing. I'm a very, very blessed young man to be able to be a part of this whole scene here.
And these are all, like, looking from the outside, down home white guys, man, and Aretha Franklin coming in just must have tripped out.
But again, isn't it just about how we sound? No, who cares how we look? You know what I'm saying?
It's that paradox
of course.
You know, what people assume, even what they hear on an album.
You know, good. That's where the magic is. It's the space in between, right? It's not what is said or what is actually obvious. It is the, there's that moment in the documentary where it's Paul Simon calling William Bell saying, hey man, I really need those same guys that played on that Staple Singer song. I want those same black players. He's like, that's great, but they pretty pale, you know? It's like, that's what it's about. It's like about capturing that magic and not caring who it is or what it, you know, who's recording it. It's just, does the music stand out? Does it make you feel like something? So, I don't know. I love it.
I was in that old studio in Memphis, Boo Williams.
Mm-hmm. Royal, right?
Yes.
Oh, so man.
You guys remind me of Royal.
Dude, and yes.
There's this funky 70s mm-hmm. going on here, man. Even from a technological, environmental standpoint in your studio.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is that part of the magic of the sound here?
Okay, so I'll be honest, the magic for me is always going to come back to one thing, song and human inspiration, sure. Right?
But that auditory that you hear.
Yes, it's so important and so cool. But I promise you, we have this big, beautiful SSL console in front of us.
Yeah.
None of those knobs will sound good if it don't sound good if that song ain't good. Sure. You know what I'm saying? And that really is what it's all about, because what's beautiful is we can now add, you know, this stuff with a great song, get a great sound, capture something. Because if you have a great song, a great singer, great performers, great gear, a good engineer, you can capture something that's really amazing. And that's the lightning in the bottles, all those things put together, you know, it's incredible.
And that fine tuning of potting up or potting down.
Yes, exactly.
Love it.
Which we're always putting bass up. That's always the most. Turn up that bass, make us feel it in our guts, you know.
That's something I just learned recently. I always thought drummer was the beat dude, but is it the bass?
Dude, the bass, man. It's like your hip bone, man. You can't walk around without a hip. It connects it all together.
Yeah, I love it. All right, well, I could keep you all day, man.
Oh, dude, I could sit here and talk about music all day, but it is so good talking to you. Yeah. Thank you for coming down and being able to experience this with us. And
my pleasure knowing
it's very, very, it's a special thing to share with people. Well, thank you.
I'm honored. For further information, where would you direct somebody?
FameStudios.com. It's really easy. You can go get all of our information as far as tours and merchandise. Mm-hmm. And if you want to record at Fame Recording Studios, come on down. Give me a call. I book all the sessions. It's a great time. My name is Spencer Coates.
Spencer, what an honor. Awesome morning.
Thank you so much, Tom.
You're welcome. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Alabama, where they made music history in America. Still making it. We'll see you here.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Well, I'll be turning 33 next Friday morning.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
So I loaded up my car and moved to Denver to work a job and chase big city dreams. But I never found the life I really wanted till I came back home to Leapers Fork, Tennessee. He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there are crying, land will save you, wait and see. It didn't hit me quite as hard then as those words come through today. But in the chaos all around me, I can still hear Grandpa say, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there crying, the land will save you, wait and see.